I'm Marco Werman. You're tuned to The World. When I think about Ferguson, Missouri, I'm reminded of a song by The Clash. The Guns of Brixton came out in 1979. The lyrics complained about heavy-handed policing in the London neighborhood of Brixton and seemed to encourage a violent response from residents. 2 years after the song's release, in 1981, tensions between police and Brixton residents blew up into a race riot. And before long, there were riots in other cities throughout England. One of them took place in the Moss Side neighborhood of Manchester. Activist Gus John lived there at the time, and he sees similarities in the scenes playing out in Ferguson today.
It seems to me that there is something fundamentally wrong with the way in which youth, and particularly black youth, are constructed in these societies, both where you are in the USA and here in Britain. There is an othering of black young people, which in the eyes of authorities and people concerned with law and order, etc., put them beyond the pale. And that, therefore, provides the context in which decisions that are made on the spur of the moment when an officer comes into contact with a young person result in such tragedies.
You had your own kind of version of Ferguson that you lived through, Mr. John, in Moss Side in Manchester in 1981. So tell us what you saw there and what echoes you find in Ferguson.
So in Moss Side in 1981, as in Brixton in London in 1981, there was clearly a reaction to heavy-handed policing, to the fact that the police did not take account of the way in which the community experienced their style of policing, of the fact that the majority of the young people who took part in those uprisings, as I call them, were unemployed youths, black youths, many of whom had some kind of a criminal record from a pretty tender age. So it's really a matter of how the police dealt with communities over time. And it took one incident in the Moss Side context, as in the Brixton, London context, for there to be a flare-up. So it is really a matter of both how young people are constructed within the society, the extent to which they feel excluded as a result of anything from school exclusions, poor schooling outcomes, the resultant lack of employment, particularly on account of racism, and the fact that by being very visible on the streets in large numbers, they become a target for the police.
So you're saying then it's really not sufficient to look at like one incident in time. You've got to kind of look at the whole history of a neighborhood to figure out why they are where they are today.
I think so. Because you see, if you look at this in an episodic way, you lose the bigger picture. I believe something needs fixing in the United States. There are just too many of these young men, different states, yes, different police authorities, yes, but there are too many young men falling victim to shootings, killings at the hands of the police. And while it is important that every single incident is looked at on its own merits and in terms of the evidence surrounding the circumstances of those killings, cumulatively, the nation as a whole, the black people, for example, in Ferguson, don't see the shooting of Michael Brown in isolation from what they know to have happened elsewhere, which is why at Brown's funeral, Trayvon Martin's mother and others gathered in solidarity with them. And I think that is right.
I don't know if you heard President Obama today, but he said, we live by the rule of law in the United States, so while we may disagree with the grand jury, we have to accept their decision. I mean, Gus John, you're talking about a system that needs overhaul at the social and economic level. So what do you say to President Obama's take on the grand jury?
I think that is a bit too complacent and simplistic. Yes, we do live by the rule of law, but even lawmakers could be blind and could be too, how should I say, they could be too inflexible in terms of looking on the one hand the letter of the law and on the other at what the consequences might be of a law that is constantly seen to favor those in power, favor the police, favor particular individuals. I mean, a parallel is in this country where, unlike you in the United States, the only time we've had one officer convicted for a death in custody or death in while in interaction with the police was in 1969. Since then, we've had scores of deaths while in the custody of the state, and no person has been successfully prosecuted for that. So that leaves a sense in the society of the state authorities being able pretty much to do what they like in the full knowledge that they are likely very much not to be convicted for what people see as crimes, whether it be crimes of carelessness, willfulness, or whatever else.
Gus John is an activist in the UK. He's been speaking with us from London. Thank you very much for your thoughts. Good to meet you.
Much obliged. Thanks. Bye-bye.